Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan, high noon in the District of Columbia. It's time for us to welcome in our friend, Mr. Ruben Frank, NBC Sports Philadelphia, via the BetQL guest line. Presented by the BetQL Network, wagertainment for every fan, morning, afternoon, and night. Get sports betting tips from the best in the game. Streaming now on Odyssey. Rube, what's going on, man? Thanks for making some time for us.
You got it. Anytime. What's going on?
Good, brother.
There's plenty to discuss, but I wanted to ask, what are your memories from covering a veteran, Brian Mitchell?
Nice guy.
B. Mitch was the man. I loved it, especially when he started getting into shouting matches in the locker room with unnamed Philadelphia Daily News columnist.
I remember one of the high,
because it was a guy that we all, you know, we've all got into our share of shouting matches with, but B. Mitch handled it beautifully, and I was very proud of him. So I've been a fan of B. Mitch since that day in the locker room. I'm sure he remembers it well.
Oh yeah, I remember that like it was yesterday, man.
I cannot wait for us to go to commercial and me to get that whole story. You can follow Ruben at Rube, R-O-O-B, N-B-C-S. Been covering the Eagles for a long time, and you can hear him on WIP up there. And Ruben knows his stuff.
Another member of the Odyssey family of stations, I might add.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. There's a lot to talk about, and we could go a lot of different ways here. Obviously, we're going to have to talk about Carson, even if it's annoying for you. Let's talk.
It's fine. Hey, whatever you got.
Let's start with this linebacker that the Commanders just signed that played a few years with the Eagles, Nate Jerry. According to social media, nobody in Philly's that fond of this kid, but social media is not fond of anybody, really.
That's true. I believe he goes by Nate Gary, but he was a big track guy. So I always would talk to Nate back at his locker about, I think he was a state champ in the 400 back in the day. But so Nate, he's fine. He's all right. You know, I wouldn't want to play him 70 snaps a game, but that was the problem here. He was playing too much because their linebackers, their linebackers have been bad up until this year for about 80 years. He was playing too much, but as a situational guy and a special teamer, he's fine. I don't have any problem with Nate Gary. He had a pick six once upon a time, and he's active, he's quick, he's athletic. He's just not a real big guy. He's not going to help you out in the run game a whole lot, but he's got some ability as a cover linebacker and a guy who can blitz here and there.
I think that's, you know, when you're bringing a guy like that and they have problems at linebacker, we were hoping, I was hoping that they were bringing somebody that could be somebody to help them out in the run game because they had issues stopping people when people wanted to run. So you say he's not very good in the run game, that makes me wonder why the hell did they bring him in?
Well, it's not his strength. He's not a super stout guy. He's more of a, athletic, moving around cover linebacker. But again, he's not a guy I'd want to play more than 25, maybe 30 snaps a game.
Yeah, I mean, he's a depth guy, and who knows really if he's even going to make this team. But
good special teamer, though. Good special teamer.
Maybe he takes Troy Apke's spot. We'll find out. let's switch to what is always going to be the topic this season between Washington and Philadelphia, and that's Carson Wentz. You covered him. You saw the highs, the lows. How about we start here? I am of the belief that we have seen an elite Carson Wentz and we've seen a terrible Carson Wentz. And all the stuff in the middle has been pretty good. So what I always tell B. Mitch and my expectations for Carson is that I want to just throw out 2017, which is the
elite, like a handicap,
the elite outlier. Right. I'm making a handicap here. Yeah. I think 2017, he was so damn good, but that was before he ever got any of these injuries and his body started to break down. I'm throwing that out as an outlier. And then 2020 was so awful, and he was obviously going through hell with the team. Whoever's fault it was doesn't really matter to me now, but everything was going sideways in 2020. So if I just look at the body of work from the other seasons, I think you've got a pretty good player here. Does that seem like a reasonable way for us in D.C. to approach this?
No.
All right. No,
because here's the thing with Carson. There is not much of a middle. Like, he's either incredible or he's awful. There, you know, if you look at his career, there's not a lot of games where Carson's just pretty good. You know, he had a pretty good game. Carson was good. It wasn't doing anything special, but he's either really bad or really good most of the time. And that's the frustrating thing, because you don't know which one you're going to get from week to week. And, you know, I can't explain why. I mean, Nick Foles was the same way, honestly. And, you know, you're looking for that consistency where guys just, you know, really good week to week. I mean, there was a stretch last year with the Colts where he was one of the best quarterbacks in the league for like a 10-week period. You know, after that 0-3 start and before those last two games, if you look at his production, I mean, it was the problem is he just can't string those games together. And obviously in critical games, he's, you know, he's been really bad in those must-win type of games. So I can't figure the guy out. He obviously has a ton of talent. I do think, like you said, the injuries have changed the way he plays, but not the way he tries to play. I think he believes he's still the same pre-ACL Carson, pre-back injury Carson, concussion Carson. He's just not that guy. He can't move like that guy. He can't escape like that guy. He's not elusive like that guy, but he still tries to be that guy. And, you know, I think so many quarterbacks have to adjust their game. And if you can do it, like when you lose your running ability or injuries pile up, you're just not as fast as he used to be. I mean, when I covered Randall Cunningham, the guy was running like 15 times a game for 85 yards. When he was the MVP in Minnesota with Billick, he never ran. Mm-hmm. I mean, he never ran. He had like six carries that year that weren't kneel down. So you got to be able to adjust to what your body is telling you and who you are physically. And so far he hasn't done that. And, I think he can have some really good games, but my biggest question is, can he do it at the biggest moments? Can he do it consistently? Can he be that guy on that critical 3rd and 7 with the game on the line? And that's what he hasn't been able to do. It's tough to figure. And I like Carson. I got along fine with Carson. I think he wants to do well. He works hard. There's just something a little bit off about the way he plays on some critical downs where he'll try to throw it over his head or behind his back or whatever, you know, kind of that Brett Favre syndrome at the end of his career where, that whole gunslinger. I mean, Patrick Mahomes can do it, but most people can't do it. So if he figures out a way to play within himself and not try to do too much and – you know, not try to be Superman on those key plays. You have a pretty good quarterback. He's got a lot of ability, and he's tough. He's a really tough guy. But I don't know. He's 30 now, and he's never done that over a full season.
That's the thing I look at. I look at, like, when I look at football players, a lot of times I look at more of their mental toughness than I do their physical toughness.
Sure.
Because the guys that are mentally tough can handle just about anything, and they don't give a damn about what people say. Carson seems to be bothered by how Philly was. D.C. is not as tough as Philly, but there are some of us, Brian Mitchell, inside the media that would take him to task on some things. And I wonder, do you see him being able to handle, when things are going good, everything's great. When things are going bad, he seems to fall into the I point fingers instead of taking blame. Do you see him being able to handle that if things don't work out as good as they would hope?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I just don't know the answer because he's never been the most accountable guy, and we noticed that early on in his career where, you know, if he had a big game, it was me, and if he struggled, it was we. You know, well, we all, you know, the offense just never, we just as a group never got rolling. Well, what about those two interceptions? Well, you know, we as an offense were just out of sync. You know. So we just, and that's something that always bothers me. I want to see accountability, and I think teammates do as well. And I think that kind of goes to the heart of why he's had issues with some of his teammates, because they want a quarterback who, if your quarterback messes up, that's fine. Every quarterback does that at some point, but stand up there and put it on yourself, and guys will play hard for you. And when you don't, they hear it, they notice it, and it affects that relationship. That's, you know, that's a really important relationship. So, to me, that's a huge thing with Carson. You know, be accountable. You know, ignore what people are saying, and if he can learn to do that, you got yourselves a quarterback.
We'll find out. And the tough part that I'm at least hyper cognizant of, talking with our friend. I'm sorry, I'm just thinking about how disastrous the quarterback development progress has been in Washington, right? We're talking with our friend Ruben Frank from NBC Sports Philadelphia. The part that I can't shake out of my brain is how bad Washington is with quarterbacks. And so now we're trying here to make this thing work. Like, obviously Philly's a tougher market, but D.C., the way they – and I suppose I'm part of this. Like, it's not an easy place to win, and it hasn't been for 20 years. How do you think this shakes out, Rube?
Yeah, I've thought about that a lot, and you know, I got so much respect for Ron Rivera. I mean, I was here with him his first, I guess from 99 to 03 when he was here. So he was here when Donovan McNabb, another guy that we could have the same conversation about, but when Donovan went from being a rookie who was in way over his head to being a Super Bowl guy and a Pro Bowler and, you know, one of the better quarterbacks in the league for about a 4 or 5 year stretch. So, I mean, I have so much respect for Ron. Obviously, he's a defensive coach, but I think that it's going to come down to Carson has to change the way he is, and I just don't know if he can do that. I don't think he's going to have a bad year. I don't think he's going to be like the 2020 Carson Wentz. He's got good weapons. I mean, I like the weapons that are down there, and he's got guys to throw to, but to me, it's not about the stats. It's like you look at the stats from the Colts last year. I mean, his numbers, if you don't look at the way he got there, if you look at his numbers, that guy was a borderline Pro Bowler last year.
Right.
You know, touchdowns and interceptions.
4-1 TDINT.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, and he's been that his whole career other than the 1 year. But, you know, when you're faltering on only those critical plays that come up in every game, you know, those two or three plays, your stats are going to look good, but you're not a winner. So he's got to change that about himself. And I think ultimately he'll put up good numbers this year because he usually does. But is he going to win a playoff game? Is he going to win 10 or 11 games? Is he going to be consistently above average? Is he going to be elite? He's got to show me he can, because I'm skeptical at this point. But I think when all is said and done, like, he'll be a really good fantasy quarterback for people that want to play fantasy, because he's gonna throw for 260 every game with a couple touchdowns, and he'll keep the interceptions down. He'll complete 63-64% of his passes, but you know, that's not how you win. You know, on those critical downs, those critical snaps, that 3rd and 7. You know, down on the 28-yard line with 4 minutes left, what happens on that play? That's going to determine who he is. And so far, he just hasn't been good enough on those plays.
See, Ruben, that's what troubles me a little bit. I believe that he's probably the best quarterback with, as far as physical talent, that they've had here in a long time. But right. I look at those crucial. Like, I've always said, a guy could come out and throw four touchdowns in the first two quarters. But if he throws the interception at the most crucial time of the game consistently, people are going to judge him off of that, not what he did in the first second quarter.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I see him as, like, I know a lot of people think that other cities just gave up on him, but I look at the fact that he's in his seventh, eighth year, and he still consistently does the thing that he did when he was young. And
yeah.
That troubles me some, where the veteran guy hasn't learned to be consistent at in the moments he needs to be more consistent at.
Yeah, and there's not a lot of guys that learn that at this point in his career. Like you said, he's in year seven. So who's going to get through to him? Who's going to
– Right.
And is he capable of being that guy and not trying to be superhuman on those key plays, and sometimes throwing the ball out of bounds is the best thing to do, and not throwing it to triple coverage and trying to be Superman. So not a lot of guys learn that at this point in his career, in their careers, but if he does, he still has a chance to be special, because there's a lot of good things to like about his game.
Talking with our boy Ruben Frank from NBC Sports Philadelphia. Give him a follow at RubeNBCS. Let's talk about the team you do cover. The team that I think might be the winner of the NFC East this year. How are the Eagles looking? How's Hurts looking? How's that defense looking?
Well, I'll start with the defense. They're so much improved. It's really something. They've added so many key pieces. When you look at Reddick and you look at Bradbury, and they drafted N'Kobe Dean, and Jordan Davis has just been unreal. He looks amazing. Kazir White. They've improved the defense at every level, and they're fast and they're physical, and they're giving the offense way more challenging looks at practice than they got really in the last few years. So. The defense looks really good. They were a top 10 defense last year, and they basically overhauled it, and they got better at D tackle, at linebacker and at cornerback. So I think they're potentially very good. Now, when you have that many new pieces, how do you come together? How do you, what kind of chemistry do you have? Because that's such a big part of it, and that remains to be seen. But the talent is there, and the talent level is really high. Jalen Hurts has been pretty good. I think he's had an encouraging camp. I wouldn't say he's made huge strides, but he's getting rid of the ball quicker. He's thrown it more accurately. He's got a little more zip on the ball. He looks physically better. He just looks a little – his weight's the same. He's still about 220, but he just looks a little leaner, a little fitter in year three now. Still, just turned 24 a couple days ago. And he's got, when you're throwing to A.J. Brown
so
instead of Jalen Reagor, you're going to look better. And he's got weapons, and, he's got Goddard, and he's got Devontae, and, so he's got Quez. He's got guys to throw to now for the first time. So, Jalen Reagor played 750 snaps last year and caught maybe like 31 passes for 296 yards.
Wow.
So it's just such a handicap to have that on the field. Every time you drop back, there's a guy it's not going to make a play for you. And so they've kind of remedied that. A.J. Brown's had a heck of a camp, and they've been friends for a long time, and they're really building up some chemistry. So I think this is a much improved team. Year two with any coach, it's going to be a lot easier than year one. Just you speak his language now, and you know what he wants. You know what the assistants want, and it's the same scheme. So you're not starting from scratch. So there's a lot to like about this team. But again, when you have this many new pieces, how does it all come together? And that's what we'll learn.
How much you think having A.J. Brown is going to be a positive influence to Devontae Smith?
Oh, big time. Yeah. He took him under his wing from day one. And, Devontae's a really mature kid. So as far as the off the field stuff, he was on the right track. But he's learning so much. Devontae said that he really wants to be a more physical player. He's kind of got the tag of being a fast, finesse guy. And he said A.J. Brown is as tough an inside receiver. Kind of reminds me of Irving Fryer, actually. In that standpoint, just a guy who's so physical and tough and can catch the ball in traffic and just knock guys over. He's not going to run around you, but he'll run through you. And so
I've always said Anquan Boldin, the Irving Fryer one's interesting, but he plays that position tough, and not a ton of people do.
Right.
Rube, I wanted to ask you something a little bit different, because –
we can talk some Sixers. I'm ready.
No, but the Commanders, from a ticket and fan perspective often make missteps. And yeah. The Eagles, good, bad, indifferent. I mean, I've been coming to the Link for a while. Beamish played there a while. You've been doing it a long time. That Eagles crowd is always elite and always into it, and the stadium always seems packed. How many training camp practices or whatever are open to fans in Philly? Is it only two? Like one at the Link and one at the practice facility?
No, just the one at the Link. That's the only one that's open. And they have a couple hundred fans at the ones at the NovaCare. They're limited by the city. When they built the NovaCare complex, part of the agreement was they couldn't have more than, I can't remember what the number is, it might be 200 fans. So they just have like a lottery among season ticket mm-hmm. holders, and you know, and then there's like some sponsors and that sure. kind of thing. So most fans just never get to see, you know, they had 30,000 at the Link on Sunday for the open practice.
Wow.
Because people want to see him so bad. And, you know, I mean, the crowds at Lehigh were amazing.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so it's a shame. I mean, I understand why teams do that, but it's a shame that fans are kind of shut out of seeing him at practice. Yeah, I mean, look, the Eagles have been good for like most of the last 30 years, and they haven't had many losing seasons. They're always competitive, pretty much. They've been well coached. They've had star players. They've had good quarterbacks. So you know, you string together, you know, 30 good years, or you know, 23 out of 30 are winning seasons. The fan base just keeps growing and growing and growing, and there haven't been many missteps that way. And I think they're really good at you know, just kind of the marketing end of it, and just kind of making fans feel like they're a part of things. Mm-hmm. And they're really good at that stuff. And they have been for a while. So, you know, Washington and the Eagles are in really similar. I mean, there's not that many teams that have been in the same city, for that long. And I was going to say the same name. I mean, there's not many teams that have the same name and the same city. And they've even played in the same part of the city. So it's ingrained in the fabric of life here. And it's a really special thing. And, you know, as long as they keep winning, it's just never going to change. Even when they're bad, I mean, fans go crazy about this team. So it makes it fun to cover. And, I mean, I think I started in 88, and I've only covered, like, what, six losing seasons?
Wow.
That's pretty amazing.
Hell yeah.
I mean, I started. Yeah, dude. Like, I don't even want to do the math on that. I think I started in 14 and have covered one winning season. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Ruben, thank you for your time,
appreciate
man. We really appreciate it, dude.
All right, guys. Good talking to you. See you down the line.
All right. Amen. That is Ruben Frank from Philadelphia. Give him a follow at RubeNBCS. When we come back, let's hear from Ron Rivera about how much his starters are going to play Saturday against the Panthers.
And also, we have a 4-pack of tickets for the San Diego Padres and Nationals game this Sunday, August 14th, courtesy of Crop Metcalf. Caller number 10, 1-800-636-1067. You get the tickets. 1-800-636-1067.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. A lot of times people are like, oh, man, your job's so cool. Like, how'd you get it? Blah, blah, blah. Nobody cares about the hard work and the graveyard shifts and all that. So I'm going to take folks a little behind the scenes of what working at a radio station is like. Some of this self-inflicted, all right? We're going to get to Ron Rivera here in just a second. But I grilled some burgers the other night. I had two left over, so I bring in two burgers to eat. I'm a ketchup guy, so I had to find some ketchup.
Mm-hmm.
I obviously didn't bring any ketchup, so I just started looking through the refrigerators for some ketchup. And I think a condiment like ketchup is very obviously a shareable condiment.
I guess.
Whoever brings in the ketchup, we're all using it. So just know that. If you ever buy ketchup at an office, everybody's going to use it. So I pick up the first bottle of ketchup I see, and I'm like, ah, I don't usually do this, but it looked kind of old. So like, I'm going to look at the expiration date on this thing. It was March of 2022. I was like, well, it's August. That ain't good. So what do? I put it back because that's somebody else's ketchup. It's one thing to use someone's ketchup. It's another to throw it away. Pick up the next bottle of ketchup I find. That was May of 2022.
All right.
So we're tracking in the right direction, but still not where we need to be. Pick up the next bottle of ketchup I see. March of 2021.
Wait.
That one looked like brown, too. But I did the responsible thing and put it back where it was. At this point, I'm like,
throw that one away.
At this point, I'm like, damn, man, I don't know. Maybe I'm just not going to have any ketchup. But then I've noticed in the way back, which I've done this too. If you're trying to keep something in one of these fridges full of hyenas, office workers, you try to hide it. And I caught just the top of a little bit of ketchup. And I picked that bottle up. Only expired in June. So I'm in business. I'm using, you know, that's barely a month old expired ketchup.
Let me help you out. We've been doing the show less than 2 years.
Right.
And three or four times you come on air talking about how you've eaten somebody else's stuff or used somebody else's stuff. How about you just bring in your stuff and then you'll know that you have it?
I bring stuff in and I know other people are using it.
What stuff?
Salad dressings.
Bring in the stuff you like and then you can always know you have it.
I've brought in salad dressings.
Get rid of it.
I've brought in Reese's cups. Now, I brought those in because I was stealing a bunch of other
ones.
Okay,
that's what I'm trying to say. So, no, you normally do something.
We're
out
all
of
in
what
it together.
Done.
It takes a village,
everything
Brian.
I bring in here, I use it and I go back home. I don't leave nothing in that refrigerator.
Well, you're more responsible than I am. I did clean out my truck. I thought you'd be happy to know that because it was a mess.
About time.
Now, Mr. Landfill. Ron Rivera spoke this morning. He laid it out how much he wants his starters playing Saturday at 1 against the Panthers. Let's hear from the Commanders head coach.
What is it that you hope to see? Because, again, as you know, it's obviously a work in progress. So what are you hoping to see from that group?
Well, you want to see some consistency out there. You know, you want to see them, you know, getting in the huddle, breaking the huddle, getting to the line of scrimmage. and then being successful with the plays that are called, operating things, doing things well. Hope we get all kinds of situational football going. We'd love to see a couple of third downs, love to see some red zone stuff, obviously, and then some short yardage and goal line. I mean, you hope for that in your first game. That's why you hopefully target somewhere between 15 and 20 plays. Have a nice drive somewhere about 8 or 9 plays and stuff like that.
I know there's some guys are probably obviously not going to play some of those tight ends, but what about Chase Rouye? Will he?
No, Chase won't play. Chase won't play.
Curtis?
Curtis will play.
Okay. And for your running back rotation, you know, I know a long time in Carolina you relied on Christian McCaffrey, but how informative was the pair for Jonathan Stewart and Damian
and D'Angelo Williams? It was very good. I mean, early on, you know, when I was there at the beginning, having those two guys and Fozzie Whitaker, you know, was really a good mix. And I think we have, you know, a pretty solid mix right now with the guys that we have in that room.
Was that like informative to how you wanted to build out this room if you couldn't?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, because again, you know, in today's game, you just can't have one really good back. You've got to have a couple of really good backs that are, you know, your guys that are, you know, you're going to feed the ball to when they're running well. You got to have a guy that's kind of a change of pace, a guy that can play any down, but he also is a change of place, different type of runner, different type of threat out of the backfield.
And another guy, just real quick, that I forgot to ask about for injuries, Benjamin St. Juice, will he play on Saturday?
Yes.
You could see after practice that Ryan Kerrigan was working with some of the pass rushers and just some of the linemen. Is that something you guys would consider bringing on full-time as just like a pass rush specialist to help with those guys?
Well, I think the biggest thing right now with Ryan, you know, he's kind of trying to feel things out and get a feel for what he wants to do. So he's asked about shadowing the coaches. And, you know, it's been kind of interesting because, you know, both Sweat and Chase just gravitate to him. And, you know, they spend a lot of time talking. They really do. It's kind of good to watch, you know, somebody who's got a tremendous amount of knowledge, vast experience like his. I think it's been good to have him around and be around our guys.
And Alex Erickson and Dax Milne seem like they've been the primary two, obviously, yes, with returners. But what have you seen from them? And then what do you look for when you're watching returners?
Well, you want a guy, first of all, that can secure the catch, you know. And we know both those guys can do that. They both have done it in NFL games. Don't discount the opportunity for us to use Jahan as well. That's something that, you know, we've talked about and something we're going to continue to discuss as we get closer and closer to the regular season.
I got to work on my stretching. Obviously, you guys can get a lot out of practice, but game conditions are different. Are there, yes, certain positions that you find just you'll learn more out of the game than just out here?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say any specific position. I think you're going to learn about our entire football team out there, you know, and it'll start right up front, you know, with what's going on with the offensive and defensive fronts more so than anything else. You know, then the skill players come into play, obviously, running backs, linebackers, and then your DBs and your receivers. I mean, but the biggest question is always going to be quarterback, and everything comes back to that position. So I'm just excited the fact that, you know, we will have game situations. We will, you know, we will practice or we will play against some different folks. So I'm really just looking forward to it as a whole.
And to that end, for a guy like Brian Robinson, a guy who's like a physical runner, to be able to see him in that setting, I assume that'll maybe show even a little bit more than what he's shown to this point.
It will. I mean, you know, we've had several live periods this year during camp, and that's been good to see. And you know, this is about as live as it gets, so I'm looking forward to it.
Last year on defense, you guys like to use 5 down linemen quite a bit. What are you looking for when you guys go with that front?
Well, the biggest thing that we do, it's more of a matchup than it is anything else. And, you know, depending on what an offense is going to give us, is going to dictate some of our personnel matchups that we try to create.
And what have you seen from Casey and James Smith-Williams so far this camp?
Well, I mean, they're two opposites. I mean, the thing about Casey that you like is, you know, he's a guy that has the flexibility that you can drop him into coverage on occasion. And that, I think, is to the benefit, especially when you get into that 5-man front, because we're not always rushing 5. And that's what a guy like that gives. With James, you got more of a big physical guy that plays downhill, plays into the line more. And with him, you don't have as much flexibility.
How is Cornelius Lucas coming along?
He's coming along well. You know, again, he had a medical thing that he has to work through right now, and hopefully he'll be back on the field very shortly. I don't know if you guys saw him, but they had him working on some of the stuff today. So when you start seeing those guys start hitting things and pushing things, you know they're getting closer.
And with tight ends, I know you're missing a lot of guys, so how do you feel about that for week one? I know it's a couple weeks away, and then what can the backups do in the preseason while
the
starters
recuperate? Well, I'm not as concerned about week one. I expect us to have those guys back, but I'm a little concerned, obviously, going into the preseason, just because the guys that we need to see or we want to see won't be able to play, and that's unfortunate.
You've asked about Sadiq or Troy. What are those guys dealing with, and what timelines do you expect?
No timelines. You know, I'm going to give you a timeline, but do expect, again, I saw Sadiq over hitting the pads as well. Again, that's always a good sign. I hopefully we'll get him back very, very shortly and have him back on the field.
Obviously, you said Carson's going to play in this game, but I would imagine Sam Howell's probably going to get a lot, if not most, of the work. What do you kind of want to see from him in this game?
Well, all three quarterbacks will play. Taylor will come in after Carson, and then Sam will finish up. With Taylor, we'll probably get him into the third quarter a little bit, and then we'll let Sam finish up. And what would be really good, and we worked on it, was the last thing we worked on today, is I'd love to see Sam get a two-minute, at the end of the game. That would be really cool. It'd be a real good experience for him as well. He's still got a lot to learn, but just consistency is what you're hoping. You know, hoping he has some success, hoping he controls things and is consistent with his ball placement when he throws it. All right. Cool. Thank you, guys.
Sounds like we get to see a lot of Taylor Heinicke and Sam Howell, but you get to see Carson Wentz. Ron wants his guys out there. Curtis Samuel's going to be out there. I think there is – listen, if you're a fan going to this game, get there on time, 1 o'clock kick. I think you're going to get to see a little bit early on. Seems like, B, a little more urgency to the preseason. What do you think?
I'll see when the game starts. I mean,
that's fair.
I've heard a lot of this same stuff prior to games, and then the game come, and then they had to tell us why things didn't happen. You know, we just decided not to, this, that, and the other. So I'll wait till the game starts and see.
1 hour. B. Mitchell Finley weigh-ins. We're going to see where Jeff Walker is. He claims he can lose 40 pounds. We're going to see.
Where is he? I haven't seen him in like 25 minutes.
Who knows, dude? We're going to see where intern John is, who claims he's, I don't even know. We're going to see where I am. I just ate a bunch, so that could impact me, trying to stay below two bills. Next, speaking of where's Jeff Walker, where's Tom Brady?
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Decided before training camp to allow Brady to address a personal matter.
Okay.
B, why is Tom Brady missing 10 days of practice?
Because Tom Brady is in a position where he's been to 23 of these things, and I think you don't have to worry about him being prepared. He'll be ready to go. And I can believe that he has something to do, and they just say, okay, we can just miss training camp, Tom. because I know we hear stuff on a daily basis in this town about plans and all this stuff, and nobody knows what the hell a plan is. Guys that hadn't been on the field, hadn't been consistently playing, and we're okay with it. I don't see how you can't be okay with Tom Brady, who's done it for 23 years.
Most of the time, I would completely agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
This whole year with Brady, retirement, unretirement, Arians has to move on. Now you got this tampering stuff with the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff. I give Brady the benefit of doubt, especially when it comes to playing football. I don't think he needs 10 days of training camp. Mm-hmm. Like, if he needs to miss it, he misses it. It's a little weird, though.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, the NFL already said there's no issues with Tom Brady, so why would he be missing because of that?
NFL says lots of things. But, yeah, I got another why for
and
you.
And if we're thinking he's been suspended or something for training camp?
I don't think he's been suspended. That's not what I'm
saying.
Yeah,
so it's just, I mean, no.
If players could get suspended for training camp, I think they'd figure out exactly what the rule it was
we'll
they needed to violate,
for that.
And they would get suspended for training camp every week, every year. I got another one.
Yeah,
Georgetown Cupcake is an incredibly popular, basically tourist attraction.
Mm-hmm.
You ever driven by and seen the people standing in line?
Yep.
Okay. They got shut down Thursday morning for a health violation.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hear that, you're like, oh, my God, they got rats in the icing or something, right?
Mm.
Ends up all the only thing that happened, well, I don't know. According to a statement, D.C. Health performed a routine inspection of Georgetown Cupcakes on July 13th, 2022, noting several health and safety violations and that their business license had expired. Mm. D.C. Health returned on August 10th for a follow-up inspection and noted that all health and safety violations have been addressed. However, they had not renewed their business license, causing DC Health to close the establishment.
Yeah.
You know what I hear?
What?
Pay up, baby.
Yeah, but the ultimate thing, if you had violations and your license was expiring, you want to make sure you correct the violation, but you want to not let your license expire.
Georgetown Cupcake has released a statement.
Mm-hmm.
Our business license, which was posted on site, had expired and caused the shutdown. We immediately filed to renew it and hope to be open again as soon as possible.
Yeah.
There were no other health code violations. We apologize for any inconvenience to our customers.
Yeah. Well, keep yourself up to date. That's basically it.
Here's my why. And I might go around the room with this one. Why, Brian Mitchell, do people wait in line for Georgetown Cupcake?
Because they good.
Yep, dude. They're not 45 minutes in a line good.
Well, it's depending on what you like, okay? And that's the whole thing about it. You and I go stand in line and we'll wait to go to do something with golf.
How long would you wait in a line for a cupcake?
I'm not a cupcake guy.
I'm asking you.
But that's what I'm saying. I would not stand in line because I'm not a cupcake guy. But the things I like, steaks, bourbon, I'll stand in line for that.
Landfill, why do people wait in line for Georgetown Cupcake?
They like cupcakes.
Everybody's getting this one wrong. Jeff Walker, why? I hope you're not standing in line for cupcakes. You got 40 pounds to lose, kid.
Because they are insane.
Getting a lot closer to home here, Jeff. Well done. All right, Intern John, you're chomping at the bit. Why do people wait in line for Georgetown Cupcake?
Because people are stupid and they see a long line and the people want to be trendy.
So there's an interesting dynamic here. If we were on a boat or in a van, let's say we were in a van, the way the structure of our show is, Jeff Walker would be in the driver's seat. And then Intern John would be directly behind him. And then me and Beamish would be in the third row. Landfill would be riding shotgun with Jeff Walker in the van. B-Mitch would be across from me in the third row. You know what just happened? And I'm going to be honest. This doesn't happen very often. Me, Jeff, and John just nailed this while you two were incorrect. The only reason people wait in line for those damn cupcakes is to be trendy and they're dumb and they want to put it on TikTok.
So in other words,
go get a cupcake at Giant or Wegmans
because
or
you
anywhere else.
Agreed on it? No.
The three of us are right. No, you two are wrong.
No, you're wrong. It's just those cupcakes are probably better than the other cupcakes.
They might be, but they ain't 45 minutes in line better.
No,
yeah, JP, Beamish and I are right about this
what
one.
What do you love to do that you stand in line for?
Ooh, that's a
Lot of concerts that I think are probably whack, but you love them.
I don't know. B, you've been with me at my current age. I don't know that I wait in line for much. And if I have to wait in line, I kind of tend to go elsewhere. I'll wait for, like, a tee time.
Okay. But that's you love golf. And most people think you out your damn mind because they think golf is the most boring sport in the world. I don't think it is.
I don't think people are waiting in line at Georgetown Cupcake because they love cupcakes. I think people are waiting in line at Georgetown Cupcake because they love their Instagram and their
No.
attention
because
dollars,
most
and they want to take
for,
a selfie inside.
Most people that stand in line at Georgetown Cupcake are not necessarily the young people that's taking a picture of it all the time. It's a lot of
older
people.
I think it was on a
like
reality show, wasn't it? Like Cupcake Wars or something?
But it's a bunch of, even it's a little bunt.
They are good. Don't get me wrong.
Nothing bunt cake, whatever it's called.
Those are pretty good too. The little
bunt cakes.
People stand
in line for those. it's whatever you like. And I think we all have that thing where if we don't like it, we think they're stupid. If they think that stuff we do is stupid, we think they're crazy. Just don't agree.
Yeah, I mean.
Landfill and I are perfectly fine.
No, you're both
incorrect. You all are just.
I don't even wait for Chick-fil-A. I order on the app and walk inside and leave. I don't
wait
for no
lines.
I don't
even like going there. So my ultimate thing is.
You don't like Chick-fil-A?
Yeah.
You're nuts.
See, that's the thing about it. Whenever you don't agree with him, you're wrong.
But I don't like long lines for food.
I don't give a damn about chicken. If I want chicken, I want real chicken. And real chicken for me is something with a bone in it. You know what I'm saying?
How about this? My guy Traded Danny on Twitter says, "You will never catch me waiting in line for an effing cupcake because I'm an adult." Boom.
But that doesn't mean anything. A lot of adults like cupcakes.
Ryan Saunders on Twitter says, "These cupcake people are lemmings and they're just following the hype." Yes, John.
And I guarantee it's something that Ryan likes that is hype and he wants to do it just because somebody else did it.
How about this? We'll measure the sanity of these people. The only person I think at this radio station that would wait in line for cupcakes, Ryan the Stallion.
Ryan probably wait in line for a lot of stuff. He wait in line.
I know one thing he would
definitely
wait. To
drink damn mimosas.
I know one thing he's been waiting for 22 years or however old he is. Yes, John.
So I'm looking at the pricing. One cupcake is $3.75, and then 12 cupcakes from Giant. It's $3.98. Not that big of a difference.
I went to Wegmans yesterday to get cupcakes for Mitch Tischler's birthday.
They're probably pretty good.
I got like 30 cupcakes for $20.
And they're probably pretty good.
We have
right?
a cupcake lover on the phone, and I'm going to try to be reasonable here. Steven. Hello, Steven.
What's up, gents?
Do you really wait in line for Georgetown Cupcake?
Every single time. Not only do I wait in line, but I pre-order them. The reason is not because of the price. It's not to be trendy. They are the best cupcakes in the DMV. If you guys recall, when Georgetown Cupcakes first came out, I don't know if you were paying attention then or not, but before the telephone, before the television show, and before everything else they had going on, no one was buying cupcakes just to go buy a cupcake. It was because of Georgetown Cupcakes that you can go to Wegmans and kids are buying cupcakes for their parties. They have actually started the trend because their cupcakes are high quality. They make a brand of something that is not just tasty and good to look at and trendy, but it is a cultural change. It is a cultural shift. So they were the first. They've got the...
People have been eating cupcakes for years. I don't know that we can call it a cultural shift.
No. The truth of the matter is, we weren't doing the cupcake thing. Like, cupcakes were disgusting before they came to the scene. You were buying cupcakes for your kids' parties?
Steven, thank you for the call, man, and I hope you continue to enjoy your cupcakes. The first time I experienced the trendy cupcake store was in San Fran, probably like 15 years ago, and I was like, oh, this is kind of cool, and then I'm like, oh, and then I saw it kind of go everywhere. It became ubiquitous to have trendy cupcakes. I understand we need a break. Who knew that cupcakes would be such a touch point? Call in. It's Bleep You Thursday. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. It is your time to be mad at whatever you want to be mad about, and that can include me. If you're a cupcake snob and you think I'm a Cupcake Philistine, let me know. Don't go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
All right, congratulations to Frank in Leesburg. You've won a 4-pack of tickets to the San Diego Padres at Nationals on Sunday, August 14th, 2022, 12:05 p.m. game, courtesy of Crop Metcalf. Let the 5-star cooling experts of Crop Metcalf help you beat the summer heat. Air conditioning maintenance and repair, insulation, and service agreements. A Crop Metcalf 5-star technician will assure your family's comfort all season long. Call 1-800-GO-CROP or visit CropMetcalf.com. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.